It was as Brother Billy was preaching, and I trust that you'll bear with me a little in my folly. But I was thinking there that it was very befitting that the Lord God would cause a gourd to come up, because the child of God that Jonah was, he was acting like a gourd head. Now, I say that because that's the way I feel a lot of times when I stand before God's people. I don't know what the Lord will have and whether he'll deliver me. And I need your prayer. We can talk about the things of God from sun up to sundown, from sundown to sun up. And we can talk about the greatness of God. But I've come to learn that when I stand before God's people, if I'd made a mistake in my speaking with the brethren and around the comfort of a table, it's a lot of difference when you stand before God's people to proclaim the truth of God.
Yeah.
Because God's people rely on the truth.
Yeah.
A truth that is not objective and absolute is not a truth. It is a so-called truth. These things have been weighed heavily on my mind in the last 5 or 6 years. And I say, that sure is a long time for something to weigh heavy on your mind. I'm not sure that that's all there is to it, that that's all, it's all about truth. But I am persuaded, and I feel like the Apostle Paul, that I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of Christ Jesus. When I say me, I mean you, I mean us, I mean that God is sovereign, Brother Billy. When I do not do the will of my Father and go whither he would have had me to go, I sometimes feel like I've been swallowed up. It's a very important thing that we recognize that the practical application, which just simply means the way the gospel is used in our lives, is very important to our witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody said one time, I didn't think you believed in witnessing. Yes, I do. And I'm here to declare to you from the witness of heaven that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that there's none beside him, that there's none like him. There never will be anyone like the Son of God. We came into this world to bleed precious blood for the shed, for a worm that has rebelled against God. Oh, how serious we ought to take the depravity of man. Someone says, I don't like to hear about man's depravities. Oh, then how shall you see Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
How can you see Jesus except you see yourself
mm-hmm.
as laid bare before an almighty God? These things get stronger and stronger as my life seems to move on. I'd like to take a text out of Psalms 29. This has to do with the sovereignty of God. I'm not sure if this is exactly where I want to begin, but I would like to bring it into your hearing. It says, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedar. You ever tried to break a cedar limb? Brother, I know you worked with cedar. That's some hard stuff you're trying to deal with. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a cat. Lebanon and Sirion like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. Now do you know how you can go through the fire and the flames will not be cast upon it? The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hind to calf. Even the young calf that's born in the field on a dewy morning. The Lord has done it. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve and discovereth the forest. And his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. You are the temple of God. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. And now with Brother Billy, and just foolish enough, as some men count foolishness to believe every word of it. To place my trust in the one who saved me by his grace. The one who reached down and didn't say, come, let me help you. But when I was without strength, in due time, came into the world in the likeness of sinful flesh, and wrought me with the redemption of his blood, and took me out of the miry pit, and set me upon the foundation of God, the solid rock, and to whom I can call every day, every hour, every minute, every second. I can cry unto him, oh Lord, help me now. And I'm persuaded that he's there. We have experiences in life that give us things, that give us one little bit more. And these experiences are shown to us in the truth of God. Your experience counts for a great deal in this life. Someone said, experience doesn't count for a hill of beans. Well, I will remind you of the Apostle Paul. He gave you experience after experience after experience.
Yeah.
He tells us of the experiences of both knowing how to be full and how to be empty,
yeah.
Hungry. Of knowing how to be exalted and how to be abased.
Yeah.
You see, your experience is worth a great deal when it's in the Lord.
Yeah.
It's not very much when it comes to the experiences of the world. And I feel burdened in my heart very much this evening to declare unto you that the sovereignty of God is higher above any of my thoughts, higher of any than Brother Billy's thoughts. Because I don't get seen in the fullness of the year. But I will, I trust and I pray and I hope in Christ Jesus that I will one day see him in all the fullness of his glory. It's promised. Do I trust in his promise? I'm not asking you if you trust. I'm asking myself. Judgment must begin at the house of God. This is a habitation. It is the Spirit of God that boasts within me, is the both the will and the to do. It must begin with myself. I must judge myself, Brother Billy, before I start judging others,
preacher.
It's important because it is in the sovereignty of God, because it is God that made us and not we ourselves. We must recognize who we are. I say unto the brethren of the Lord Jesus Christ, recognize who you are in the Lord Jesus. The Apostle Paul tells me over here in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and I'll turn to that for just a minute and declare unto you what the Word of God says. The Apostle Paul says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which ye also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, and by which also ye are saved. If, wait a minute, I thought salvation was unconditional. Oh, brethren, there was a condition attached to your eternal salvation, and it was the condition that Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross for your redemption. That is a condition. But brethren, to me, it is unconditional. I can do nothing to approach unto a sovereign God and say, what doest thou? I cannot do that. Why? Because that which is within me bears witness that he is the great God of the eternal kingdom. That he is the great God that none can say, what doest thou? Or none can say his hand. Or even say, Lord, why did you do this to me? Why did you make me this way? I've asked the question many times before. Lord, why did you allow me, as one of yours, to come in and sit down in the heavenly courts of the kingdom? One that is lower than the worm of the dove. When the Lord is on me, the one that exalts himself, when the Lord is not upon me. And I must declare unto the children of God that they are all in like circumstances, that they all have the propensity within themselves, because of that sin that dwelleth in their members, to exalt themselves above God and say, we'll be like the Most High. Brethren, we all do. You know, we have that sure hope in Christ Jesus. And Brother Billy, just like going down into the belly of a great fig, we sometimes have to go there to look up to see the glory of God. He is the great I Am. As Moses said, who shall he say hath sent me? He said, I Am. There's none like him. He didn't say I was, and I am, and I will be. He says, I am. That's eternal existence. That is not have a starting place or an ending place. I just am. And that's all you need to know, brother. You don't need to know what my beginning was. I didn't have one. But what you are is the creature, and you pay attention. Oh, man, thou art inexcusable. For the very creation declares the glory of God. The worm, the gourd, the cat, the thorn. And even in our own lives, we see the glory of God shining forth. And I will echo what Brother Billy said. That this gospel is preached in this day and time because God has kept it. He has kept it solid and steadfast down through the ages of time. Not because of what we have done, Brother Billy, but because of his own kindness and mercy that he saw fit to leave it for a people. That in itself is glory. God said, I will have it. And he will. even in the belly of a great fish.
Okay.
I say unto you, my ways are nothing compared to the ways of God. Your ways, my ways. You know, we've heard this. I've heard that all my life. But you know, there comes a point in time that I actually hear what's being said. Brethren, does that ever occur to you? That's because God has worked in you both the will and the to-do. He has worked within you the revelation of truth. Yes, we can hear it and think we understand. Can we not, brethren? We think we understand what is being said. But then, the Lord shows it to us in truth. When God shows you His face, and you see the Lord Jesus hanging upon the cross of Calvary with the nails driven in His hands and His feet, and you see the crown of thorns upon His precious brow, you have seen the truth.
Yes, sir.
When you have seen Him going to the tomb there where never a man was yet laid, a new tomb, and you see Him laid there and the stone rolled over it, and you see the centurions parked outside, and you see there approaching morning there on the first day of the week, you see Mary going there to anoint the body of Christ. And what they see is Christ is not. It's not He. Have you seen it? Have you seen it in your lifetime? How that He is not there? Can you also see how those centurions were bright to say they came by night, stole away while we slept? Can you see it? I know you can. That's because it is Christ in you, the hope of glory, that has revealed it to you. Man can do nothing apart from God. He has nothing to offer God. I don't have a thing in the world to offer God except what God has given me first. And if God has given me the utterance of speech to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ under the face of God, that they might have hope in this life, so be it. And when He's through with me, like Brother John, I don't want to go before He says it. You realize that. But I know this much. And I have a trust in my God that if there are things that I must do as long as I live, then I must do it. I know this also. And I have a trust in my God that when He's through with me, He will see fit to be through. Can we say that with confidence and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that's within us? Can we say, yea, Lord, so be it, under this? This is a question that we must ask. Now, if we're not to ask it, then why is it preached to us in the gospel? If we're not to ask or examine ourselves daily whether we be in the faith, why would it tell us to do that? We are. I must examine. It's imperative for the glory of God that God get the glory in the faith. I want to very quickly, because I know we're out of time, but I also want to go to Timothy. So Brother Billy was reading my mail. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babbling. Anyone try to tell God's people and try to carry them off unto gods that are no God, they try to carry them off unto themselves. See, the rational mind loves subjectivity. Now, that's a crazy word. I'll tell you, when I first learned about subjectivity, I thought, my goodness, that's a crazy way to do that, say that. Subjectivity! And I said, well, we don't want to hear about that intellectualism. I don't either. But I'll tell you this much. God is not subjective. God is objective.
Yeah.
God has an absolute objective.
Yeah.
And everything he says, when he says, I am God, that is not, there's nothing for me to do about that. He says, I am God, there's none other. That is absolute, brethren. When he said, I came, he said, for thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That is an absolute.
Amen.
Nothing for you to do about that. But profane and vain babbling will tell you there is. Will tell you that there you must do this so God can do that. My God and my Savior is what Thomas didn't say. He said, I won't believe it till I see. I won't believe it till I thrust my hand into his side. I believe he said thrust your finger in there. I didn't quote that, that's right. Get that this time. But he didn't have to, I believe, anyway. Because when Jesus came there, he saw, when he saw it. Have you seen it? I've seen it. When he saw the nail prints in his hand, he said, my Lord and my God. Oh, the power of God's Spirit within a man will cause him to utter that. Not the call of the preacher. And he won't repent until God gives him godly sorrow. When he actually gets sorry about it, he didn't get it on his own. God gave it to him. So he says, shun these profane, and these are profanities. Brother Billy, these are vanities. These are vain, taking the Lord's name in vain, if you will. Somebody says you've got to use a curse word. Brethren, half the people that use that curse word don't even know what they're saying. That's all they know to do because of anger and pent-up depravity that me and you all fight every day. But it is taking the Lord's name in vain, Brother Billy, to say that he cannot do what he said he was going to do. May God help us to stand steadfast in the belief and the faith. God said, I will do it. And he's done it. And he yet will do it.
Yeah.
He's done all that he said he would do.
Yeah.
He fulfilled all his promises to Israel. That nation. And I mean all of them. He promised them he'd destroy them too. Remember now who he's talking to? The people! His people! Children of Israel. If you turn to me now, come back and I'll turn to you. If you come back and you quit going whoring after all of these harlots, who's the harlot? It's every principality and power and profane babbling you can imagine. For God is not God, unless you let him be God. Now that's subjectivity. I said unto God's people, Christ died and went to the tomb, and he rose in 3 or 4 days. Brother Jones, I dare say, you take me outside and you say, brother, that the book says 3 days and 3 nights as Jonah, the sign of Jonah in the belly of that great fish, in the bottom of the ocean, so shall the Son of Man be. Carry his body down and in 3 days I'll raise him. is absolute. Black and white. Now, God is not black and white in what he says. We've got a variable God. We've got a variable God on our hands, brethren. I don't believe in a variable God. He's immutable because he has his counsel and he confirms it by an oath. And when God gives an oath, he will perform it under the day of his power. When it's shown, he will perform it. So your God is a great God. The little God, the little G's of this world, they have nothing upon the great God, the one and only, who is the true God. The rest of these are deceivers. Now, somebody says, don't be so hard on people's thoughts. Well, I've got to leave. I would have to tear out every other page in the New Testament. Listen to me, brethren. I'm not trying to be smart aleck, or I'm not trying to tell you something you hadn't already heard. But I'll take you to Matthew. In Matthew 23, he said, oh, you nation of vipers, you snakes in the grass. I am weary of hearing of man's attempts to save himself. Lord Jesus Christ tells me in Matthew 23, 24, and 25, the problem was not repentance when God gives us the sorrow to do it. We start looking for our own way. He tells them here, oh ye fools, oh, let it not be named among the house of the children of the house of Israel, and that is the spiritual Israel of the church, that they might be said, oh fool. Woe unto you, scribes, you Pharisees, you hypocrites. Brother, this is not nice, fancy language. As one brother said here a while back, he said, I like them because they're in red letters, too. Because that means my Lord spoke them.
Yeah.
If I am going to stand in the defense of the gospel, I must speak as the Lord would say. He said, cry aloud and fear not. Your burnt offerings and your sacrifices have come up before me as a stink. So what have I got to offer? I have nothing to offer. Because God doesn't want it. He says, you are my glory. Now act like it. God is your God. He is not someone that you would look at and say, well, God, what do you want me to do about this? Just anything. What do you think? Do you think I could do this? This is subjective, brethren. You live among them. You live, you hear it every day. How many different ways can you do something? 3, 4, 5. God says, you do it my way, Brother Billy. When I say go to Tarsus, go to Tarsus. But he said, oh, ye fools and blind. I remember you talking about some blind folks over there in Nineveh. You say, well, I didn't hear anything about people being blind. He said they didn't know the left hand from their right. I did not mean naturally. They didn't know the left hand from their left. See, I don't either. Left hand from my right. The point I want to make to you is, until God shows you what your right hand is. Now, this is talking about sovereignty of God. When God says, this is your right hand, this is your left hand, now, bear fruit. See, when he showed me that, brethren, I have been shown the power of God. See, the gospel brings life, life and immortality to life. It brings it out to the light.
the things which, and where is the light is within you, and it brings it to life. It is God in you, your hope. He is the one. Now I'll close with this.
I know it is a, I've probably been all scattered around here, and I don't really know if God, if I fail, then it's not God's fault, that's for sure. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of themselves. You seeing that? Well, they were doing it in Christ's day too. Men were loving themselves. I believe Brother Hewlin read out of Romans 1. If you hadn't read Romans 1 lately, it's time to go back and read it one more time and look at the degradation of men and those that knew God. Oh, they didn't glorify Him as God. They didn't look at Him as God, but they worshiped the creature, and the creature is self.
That's right.
Self. Self-esteem. Self. Builders, self-exalters. This is the profane babblings that this world is so caught up in today. Oh, who hath bewitched you? Let it not be known. In the house which is known by the name of Jesus, and known presently in this day as the Primitive Baptist Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let it not be known. That we be bewitched by the powers that be out here in this world. Like Satan is a liar, the truth is not in his vocabulary. And he goes about deceiving the nation. As the apostle said, even now, the Antichrist. Somebody's looking for one. Brethren, we know where he's at. God has shown them to his people. We know who he is. He's Satan. And brother, he uses man, like you said, to go about and do his dirty things. Brother Tony, he cannot do anything in this world without you. Satan has to have a human being. That's the way sin entered into the world. By one man, disobedience. He works in men. He uses men all the time to do his bidding. He even uses me sometimes, brethren, and I'm glad. I'm glad I got to go through the valley once in a while, because then I know I'm coming up. But know this. He says, know this. That in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of themselves. Covetous. Self, Brother Billy. The gold. He was only worried about his head anyway. Boasters. Proud. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. This sounds like all the ills of our society. Unholy. Without natural affection, and my heart almost broke a few days ago, and I will relate it to you, because my heart just burst. A young lady, I don't remember what city it was in, she was at a dance. Went into the restroom and had a baby. Put it in the garbage can. And then went back to the dance floor. This is not even having any natural affection, which was part of her body. Men, their minds will wax worse and worse. Now that I've taken you down, let me take you up again. Let me show you the power of God. He says these are have a form of godliness, ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. But he says, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, a reprobate. That's one of the main focuses of Romans 1. Concerning the faith, they're reprobate concerning the faith of the saints. But they watch the glory of God shining through. He says, but they shall proceed no further. For their folly shall be made manifest unto all men. May we pray that God would cause godly men to arise. May we pray that the church would continually offer unto God for his great mercy and tender kindnesses. But he said that their folly will be manifest unto all men, as theirs was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. There's the experience. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. What is there that man can say that will tear down the doctrine of God? Nothing. What is there that men must do to help God save our humanity? Nothing. What should we do? Pray God. Pray without ceasing. Give all glory and honor unto the author and the finisher of your faith. And then do it again. In the name of Jesus, your Savior, the one who died for you. God help us.
Amen,
brother. God help us. Amen. May he
want
to deliver to the
saints. Appreciate your message.
Well, after the brethren got started, I said to myself, they're going to charge Brother Tony tonight. But it wasn't long till I realized they were charging all of us tonight. Amen and amen. Sometimes if you have a mind, take your concordance and run how many charges are clearly set forth in the scriptures.
Yeah.
In the Old and New Testament. It's all in the Old and the New. Every time you turn around, it's a charge. And we need those charges. Now, I'll give you a charge. If you feel the Spirit's stirring within you, if you're not a member of the church and you want to join the church, we'll open the door and the privilege will be yours while we sing a hymn. By the time you got one.